Hi, I'm Alexa Barr, and you're listening to Lavender Louisville.
Hello, and welcome to a special episode of Lavender Louisville, the podcast dedicated to Racing Louisville FC. I'm your host, Joe Havelda. My guest this week hails from Buford, Georgia, and plays for the Colombian national team. She spent the last couple years playing in Colombia before joining racing, where she had the best NWSL debut since 2016. She is, of course, Alexa Barr. Lex, welcome to Lavender Louisville.
Hey, Joe. Thank you so much for having me. It is an honor to be here. Heard a lot of good things about your podcast. So.
Ooh, okay, good. Well, as I just said, you play for the Colombian national team. So my first question is, are you friends with Luis Diaz and can you introduce me?
Sorry, my dog's in the background. But yes, I've never actually met him.
Oh, okay.
But he does send videos every once in a while. So we do sometimes have we do talk. But can you meet him? Probably. If you want to go to a game with me, we could get you tickets.
Heck, so yeah. I'm a big fan of his.
He's awesome. He really is.
Well, let's start there. You were born in the U.S., your mother's Colombian, your father's Honduran, so you essentially were eligible for three national teams. How did you decide to end up playing for Colombia?
It's been a long time, but I first originally started with the Honduran national team just because, you know, me and my dad, he's been like my coach for a long time in my life, and he was like, I just feel like we need to make the next step for you. Let's try to get to a national team. So he actually, being from Honduras, had a lot of connections from the men's national team. And we got a couple like entryways through there. Actually got to play some U20 World Cup qualifiers with them. And from there, I got noticed by the US national team. And I went to a couple camps with them. And then I don't know how, but the Colombian national team heard about it and they were like, listen, let's get you into camp. Let's try you out. And so a month later, after being with the U.S. national team, they called me in and I got to train with the U20s at the time. And luckily that the main national team, so the overall team, was training at the same time. And they said, let's try you out with the big girls. So my, 17-year-old self was like, oh God, here we go. And luckily, you know, ever since then, I've just been with the team. I'm so sorry, my dog. Benji. Sorry.
Love it. We got a special guest today.
Yeah.
My dog's upstairs wondering where I am right now.
Oh gosh.
I'm leaving all of this in too. No, leaving it. I love it. All right. So you went to school at the University of South Carolina. Were you excited to see them win the women's basketball championship this year?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Fun fact, I actually was there when the men's won and the women's won.
Oh, fun.
Like, so it was awesome. Like we were such a big basketball school. So I'm super happy for them. Super happy for Dawn. They've been like, she's incredible. Like she's incredible. So I actually, again, got to meet her, got to spend time with her. I have still to this day, still talked to a couple of basketball players from like my year, good friends with them. But the program itself just is incredible.
I love that. Did you see that was the most watched basketball game ever on ESPN, including any men's and NBA games?
Yes, I did. How crazy is that?
I'm confused though, because I've always heard that nobody watches women's sports.
Yes, I do too. It's like this huge ordeal that everybody keeps saying. They're like, ah, women's sports. And then come to find out everybody wants to watch it. So we'll see.
Yep. Not just basketball, man. Women's sports, different leagues all over the world are really just blowing up the last couple of years.
It's crazy. And I'm excited to see how like the Olympics goes and like with women's soccer, especially how everything played out last year. With the World Cup, I'm definitely excited to see how they do everything.
It's your dog just destroyed your
Did you
apartment?
Just hear my dog try to like break through a door? Special shout out to Millie who like tried to control him.
All right. Well, as you said, your father was a professional soccer player, including a stint in Division II here in America as a defender with the Atlanta Silverbacks. And you've mentioned that how influential he's been on your soccer career. But obviously, you've had a nose for goal from a young age, as evidenced by scoring 5 goals in a single game for Buford High School in 2015. When would you say your father first realized he had a striker on his hands?
Well, actually, my dad was a 10. So
okay.
he played, he was like a false 9, 10. And I actually got a lot of his, I guess, skill, if you want to say. He taught me a lot of, you know, how to find the goal. If we were to call him now, he would probably say I knew that she was going to be a striker when I was in my mom's stomach. And it's funny because literally Louisville did a video about the whole career thing. And like I said, my dad thought I was a soccer player right in my mom's stomach, just the amount of times that like I was kicking and all that stuff, just being super active. And at the age of 2, they literally gave me a soccer ball and they were like, go with it. Just run, have fun. Yeah. So he has a little soccer family. We got a little soccer family. Yeah. My brother and sister also play. So he has a little team. He built up himself.
Well, I will apologize on behalf of the Lavender Louisville Research Department for misidentifying your dad's position.
No, don't worry. It's okay. Don't worry.
The Lavender Louisville Research Department, which consists of me and my co-host. you joined Racing this year, but this is not your first racing team. You also played for Racing Feminas in Spain. So are you just a fan of racing in general?
Yeah, well, I might be. I don't know. I think it's just, I think I've just been on only racing teams. But no, my time in Spain was actually really fun. And we had a great little team there. And even though it was second division at the time, it definitely brought a lot of like one joy and experience being able to learn from, you know, the Spanish league, different players. They had a whole bunch of like Latino players as well, other Europeans, Americans. So it's nice to grow as a player, and not even that, as a person as well, just learning different cultures. But I would love eventually, hopefully, work my way back to Europe again, just because it's an awesome place to be at. Yeah.
Where in Spain did you live?
It's called Santander. It's like a small little city, like on the edge.
Mm-hmm. I did study abroad in college in Segovia, just north of Madrid.
Oh, how was that?
Been to Spain a couple times. It was neat. It was a little town about an hour north of Madrid, and small little community, but it has a 2,000-year-old Roman aqueduct right in the middle of town.
Oh, wow.
That is still 100% intact. And it has a castle on the edge of town where Ferdinand and Isabella lived and was the inspiration for the Disney castle.
What? So, I did not know.
Yeah, it was a neat little town. Spent 3 months there and, you know, got to go all over Spain. So been a bunch of places in Europe. Spain is a lot of fun, a lot of cool things to see there.
It's so, so neat. It's so beautiful there. Yeah. I got a couple of chances to go to Bilbao. I don't know if you've been there.
Haven't been there, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and that place also is like super pretty, just super like natural. The architecture and the city is just like incredible. Yeah. What they've built over there. So it's really pretty.
I got to go to Portugal summer before last. I have an uncle that lives in Lisbon. So we all went over and spent a week there. And you want to talk about pretty, because it's right there on the coast. We got to see a Benfica game, preseason game. So that was really fun. It was a preseason game that they played against Newcastle at the Stadio de Luz. So that was a lot of fun. I wore my racing jersey to the game. So yeah, no, it's beautiful over there. Big fan of Europe. So you're also no stranger to scoring in your club debut, because you scored in your debut for Deportivo Cali as well.
Yes.
But let's talk about the first game against Orlando. I don't know too many racing fans that had you pegged as the first goal of the season.
Yeah.
So that was a very fun surprise. And as I kind of mentioned in the intro, you're the first player to score and assist in your NWSL debut since Rachel Daly in 2016.
Yeah, I know. I didn't
So,
even know that fact until I looked on Twitter and they were like, oh, by the way. And I was like, oh, wow, cool. But yeah, no, honestly, I'm just like surprised myself. Everybody keeps asking me, like, how did I feel? What was going through my head, you know? And like, I think in the moment when you're playing or when you're doing something that you love, like, you just don't sit there and like guess. You kind of just have a gut feeling of what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And, you know, like I said, I just, when I got the ball from Ray, I literally was screaming my head off, just saying, like, hey, I'm open. And then I see Orlando's goalkeeper out, and I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna take this big risk. Let's just do it. Let me just chip the goalkeeper in, and you know, next thing you know, it goes in, and I'm screaming my head off again.
More of that, please.
Yeah.
I've said this previously. I've been watching this league basically since Racing came in, 3.5 years ago. And I have been screaming for more goalkeeper chips for 3.5 years.
Oh my gosh.
I think NWSL keepers play high off their line a lot. And I think
Yeah,
that
they
shot is
do.
on all the time and nobody ever takes it.
Yeah.
So I want you to do me two favors this
Okay,
season.
okay.
Number one, anytime you get the ball, look up, see if the keeper's off their line. And if they are, shoot.
Okay.
Favor number two, don't listen to me. I'm not your coach.
No, I know. I mean, when I, after the game, even Bev herself was like, dude, that's really gutsy of you. Like, that's incredible. I haven't seen a goal like that in a long time. And I haven't even realized that, like, you know, we have a lot of smart players in the NWSL that just have a great soccer IQ. But to actually have the balls to do it, right? You just like, you think of Marta, right? You think of Marta, Alex Morgan, just the top name players. To sit here and actually put on a show. And I even hope for like my teammates or opponents or even younger girls to see that, like, hey, like, even if it you miss, like, people are always going to remember this moment of like what you can and can't do. We're just like the men. We can put on a show, we can play fancy. So I like I said, at the end of the day, it was a gut feeling and I went with it. So I'm glad
More
I
of that, please, please.
did.
And it's funny because in the last game against San Diego at halftime, I was chatting with some friends. And one thing you're going to learn about Racing fans, and this is absolutely not a knock on anyone listening that feels like this, they might have identified with this. We're a new team in the league still. This is fourth season. It's a new team, and a lot of the Racing fans are new to following and watching soccer.
Right.
That is a big part of why Cody and I started this podcast. Like I said, before we started, we try to get into tactics and X's and O's, and we try to explain things a little more than a lot of other podcasts do to really try to help people understand what they're looking at on the field. All of that's a lead up to say, at the halftime of the last game against San Diego, I was chatting with some friends that are in that boat. And even one of them mentioned at one point, I want to say San Diego had a corner, and their keeper, Kaylin Sheridan, was like up in the center circle. She
Right.
was way off her line. And
Yeah.
that's right. I was kind of telling him, I was like, man, keepers in this league play way off their line for some
Way
reason.
off their line. And I don't know if it's because they don't listen, I'm not gonna sit here and talk bad about anyone or anything like
No.
that, but I just don't know like their mindset or if they're trying to one be like another player to be able to play with their feet, help the defense out and keeping the ball, or if they just feel like we don't have players that are like I said, ballsy like that to like chip the goalkeeper. I mean, we have incredible athletes in this league. And if we really could sit here and talk about how, like, for example, Emma, she's one of our fastest players. She could literally probably take anybody on. She could even probably take the goalkeeper. But from 40 yards out, do you really think that is she going to be able to take the goalkeeper or is she going to be able to try to chip her? Like, and even then, goalkeepers, I mean, it's hard. It's just hard. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how their style of play is, but sometimes we just gotta be a little bit smarter and
No, I
different.
love it. And kind of like you were saying, even if you take that risk and you miss, that's telling the keeper, "Ooh, I better not play that high up anymore." And then that kind of changes their game. I don't know. I wanted to spend a little time on that because I am such a fan of that. I've been screaming about it for years that it's always there. Nobody does it. So thank you for taking that risk. Obviously it paid off. That was a ton of fun. And then, like we said, just a couple minutes later, you followed it up with a really nice, it was that whole sequence. Cause again, Raylan got the ball in your own half.
Yeah.
Just a ridiculous ball to find you on the wing. Like that pass from her to you
again,
was incredible. And then squaring that over to Uche. And then Uche with the very clinical, good finish.
Amazing. I mean, like I said, like, again, going through my mind, right after the goal, my outside back that was defending me, she was just kept going up just because that was their style of play. She just kept going. And they were trying to almost make it as like they were attacking with five. So even when we won the ball, the switch was on to keep to switch it to the point of attack. And I was open and Ray just kept finding me there. And then what was even cool about it is that when I actually looked up, I realized it was a 2v2 situation. Sorry if you can hear my dog in the background. And I just hear, like, I don't know how I heard Uche, but I just hear her over all of our fans. She's like, "Legs." And I see her and I just see her making this diagonal run. And I'm like, let me just split these two defenders. And she just gets in, does her magic. So I was like, yes, like that was incredible. It was an incredible moment.
She's having a great season. She's leading the Golden Boot race this early in the season.
Yes. And she needs to keep going because she's doing good. I mean, oh my gosh, she's doing awesome. So
trust
me,
we are all over the moon about it. I know Raylan, last I checked, Raylan is tied for most assists with two. You mentioned Emma Sears. I saw that she has the most successful dribbles per 90, I want to say. She is very fast. I've been a fan of this team since day one, been a season ticket holder since day one, and just seeing the progress every year is so much fun to watch. It's really neat watching the returning players improve, but then also seeing the new players come in and the impact that they can have, especially right away. And that isn't common. I almost said not normal, but I don't want it to sound bad, but that's not common for a player to come into this league that's never been in this league before and be able to be effective right away. So
yeah, and like even like I'm pretty good friends with Jalen and Abby, who are our two captains. Even Jalen, she even said, like, you know, we've had trouble like mixing in our new girls with our old girls, and even though it's still like a new team, like she's like, this is the fastest that I've seen people actually like work together so well.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And I mean, Bev has it hard picking her players because we have a good group of girls. And like I said, like our first game against Orlando, me, Uche, and Raylan, we never trained together. We did, but not as like the front three. Like we never worked together. We never were doing shooting together. We never worked on pressing together. Like we actually had a different group going into the game. So for Bev to come out and be like, you know what, let me just give these girls this opportunity and let's see where it goes. Like, it's really paid off. Even our game against San Diego, like, we've just been doing so well in our press and winning the ball and even attacking. Like, of course, again, still early in the year, we still have a lot to improve on, but you can slowly each game see the progression where it goes. And I think it's incredible, honestly. How new of a team we have and how many new girls we have that are just making an impact right off the bat.
All right, let's get into some listener questions now. These are actually really good. We always ask for listener questions on Reddit and Facebook and Twitter, and we get some really good ones sent in every time. And a lot of the same people sending them in because they just ask really good questions. So first, M. Westfall from Reddit wants to know, what was the selling point in choosing Racing over other NWSL clubs?
Actually, it was a funny story. I actually was supposed to go to Europe before Racing. And my agent, I just got a call one day and they were like, listen, we got a team that needs a forward and I think you're going to really enjoy it here. And I was like, okay. So really, you know, racing was my last, I don't want to say my last option, but they were my only option at the time. Cause it was either going to Europe and then, or staying in Colombia. And I just knew that, you know, in order to grow as a player, I had to get out. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to take racing. I'm going to do in WSL. I personally didn't think I was ready for it, but hey, everything happens for a reason.
Apparently you are.
Everything happens for a reason. I'm just super grateful. And honestly, I'm so in love with everything of racing, the club, the team, the fans, the stadium itself. Like, it's been a dream come true. And I just honestly, the only thing I want to say is I just hope we still keep getting all of our fans to keep going to our game, because you guys are incredible. And the support and the love that you guys share with us, we definitely feel it on the field.
I saw the last update was that for this Saturday, the Thunder of a Louisville game, they already have over 8,000 tickets sold.
So yeah, I saw that too. I was like, oh my gosh, that's going to be crazy.
It's going to be a good time. I'm so excited about Saturday. All right. Coco Cam Cam on Reddit, another frequent asker, says the team has been talking a lot recently about having a winning mentality to take the squad to a higher level. What does winning mentality and culture mean to you, and how do you help the team achieve it?
I think winning mentality, I think it just has to do with a lot of effort. Like, are you willing to have like heart in the hard times when we're down? How do you look at the game? Like, are you willing to come back? Are you willing to put your body on the line for the 10 other girls that are playing with you at the time? You know, and for me, it's just having the heart, the grit, the love for the game to be able to be like, if I have to slide tackle the crap out of somebody, I'm going to do it. If that means that I have to freaking score with my arm, I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
no.
Whatever body part I have to use to score.
I don't know if they'll let you do that.
But the point is exactly like, for me, I think having a winning mentality is, it's just like, am I going to really sacrifice myself for the love of the game? Like, am I going to put everything that I have into it just to win or just to come out with 1 point? And I think honestly, we've all come down and we're all agreed to that. We're all going to do everything that we can to be able to come out. And trust me, listen, guys, we're dying to come out with our first 3 points. We are all dying, but you know, everything has its process. Every time is in control here. So hopefully Saturday. I'm fingers crossed.
I'm excited about Saturday.
I'm excited about Saturday.
Last one. Vicky Johnson from Facebook wants to know how the NWSL differs from the Colombian League, both in terms of style of play and support and resources for players.
Oh, that's a good question. So actually, it's so sad to even really talk about it, but the Colombian League is only 6 months long, not even. It's probably five at most. And we have girls that don't even get paid that much, that have to work two jobs at a time, two, maybe three jobs. You got girls that are so poor, or their families are so poor, that the money that they make playing actually helps put food on the table. And we always say, or they always say every year, because I only was there for a year and a half, that, you know, every year we're going to try to get better and stuff like that. And like, you never see progress. You never see change. And it's just really unfortunate, because, you know, coming here to the NWSL, like, I was humbled. Like, I was so humbled just in the fact that, like, I really didn't realize that I had nothing coming into a place where, like, we have a freaking wall to put hang up our shoes. Whereas in Colombia, I had to wash my shoes every single day with water that I had to use to shower with. You know what I mean? And it's just the resources that we have, and I was fortunate to be at one of the best clubs in Colombia, but I just think, you know, outside of the U.S., there's a lot of clubs and a lot of teams that struggle with so many things. And it's really sad to even just talk about it because some of the happiest girls are playing there and they're just playing because they love it. But I will say that the style of play is incredible, and we have some incredible players like Linda Caicedo, Mayra Ramirez, that plays on Chelsea right now. Linda plays on Real Madrid. Lacey Santos, who is gonna eventually play for, I think it's Washington Spirit. Like amazing Colombian players that came from nothing and now have so much more what they had. Like their style of play is incredible. It's different. It's more than just athleticism. It's more than just running. And I think it's a great thing that NWSL is, looking for those style of players and advancing in different aspects of the game. So I
Love
hope
that.
that answered that
Absolutely.
question.
Okay, Lex, we have a few minutes left, and at the end of all my interviews, I like to play a unique game designed specifically for my guests. Now,
Okay.
it's not always trivia. It's not always trivia, but sometimes it's trivia. As we've said multiple times, you play for the Colombian national team. You spend the last couple of years down there. So I have five trivia questions about Colombia for you.
Oh, God.
But there's a twist.
Okay.
Colombia is home to the Amazon, and your name is Alexa. I'm talking to you on my Apple MacBook Pro with my Apple AirPod Maxes on my head, my Apple Watch on my wrist, and my Apple iPhone next to me. So we're going to play a little trivia game that I'm calling Alexa versus Siri.
Oh,
So stupid. I love it. All right.
my
So
gosh. I love that.
I'm going to ask you each of these questions, get your answer, and then I'm going to ask Siri, and we'll see who does better.
This might be an embarrassing moment for me, but it's
Well,
okay.
here's
We're
the
gonna
thing.
go with
I was going to do Derby trivia because of Thunder over Louisville this week kicks off the 2 week Derby celebration, but I felt like that might not be fair because you may not be terribly familiar with Derby trivia, not having been.
no,
So I thought
actually,
maybe Colombia could be a little easier.
well, I mean, I am Colombian. I actually haven't really been to Colombia that much, but you know what? I'm gonna give it my all, so don't worry
We're
about
gonna
it.
try.
We're gonna do it. If people laugh at me or correct me, it is more than okay. I
Well,
will
here's what I
take
always say about trivia games. Why I love trivia is that either you get to show off what you know or you get to learn something new.
Yes. Okay, good. I love that
That's what we're going to go
mindset.
with because this is what I have prepared. All right.
that
We'll start simple, or what I hope is simple.
mindset.
Question number one, who is Colombia named after?
Oh God, this is simple for you. Colombia named after? I have no idea.
Columbia.
Columbus? Are you like, am I? Is
Yes.
it really Columbus?
Yes. Well, let's see what Siri has to say. Hey, Siri, who is Columbia named after?
Colombia was named in honor of the explorer Christopher Columbus.
Yay.
Yes.
Right.
Gosh,
Question
this
number.
is I'm already sweating.
Question number two. What is the national animal of Colombia?
Oh, wait, I know this one. It has to be, I think it's on their flag. Is it a bird? Is it a type of bird? Okay, that's all I got for you there. The type of bird, I don't know.
Okay, I'm giving it to you. Let's see what Siri says. Hey Siri, what is the national animal of Colombia?
The national animal of Colombia is the Andean condor.
You got it.
Oh my
It is
gosh.
a very, very large bird. I am also realizing at this moment that I may have to edit out me saying, Hey Siri, each time. I'm probably setting off all the phones of the people listening to this.
Yeah, you probably are. I'm like looking over at my phone. Like, I'm like, oh
Right.
God.
Question number three. What is Colombia's nickname?
Columbia's nickname. Ooh, this one might be hard.
Yeah.
Columbia's nickname. No, that one I think you got me beat. I don't know.
What is Colombia's nickname?
The name Columbia is a poetic term
That's
used.
not the right answer. Hang on. Hey, Colombia. Hey, Colombia. Jesus, I'm all over the place now. What is the nickname of Colombia? All right, technical difficulties one more time. What is the nickname of Colombia?
I found this on the web.
All right. I tested all of these earlier with Siri just to make sure that this wouldn't happen. But the nickname is the gateway to South America.
The gateway to, oh, do you have any why they call it that?
I think because of where it's located geographically. It's right there on the northwest and connects with Panama. And you can come down from Central and South America down. Yeah. That's my assumption. So I am not giving a point to Siri on that one because she failed Siri's me on this, even though I tested all of these multiple times. All right, question number four. How many countries does Colombia share a land border with?
Oh, okay. I'm going to say one, two. I'm looking at a map in my head. Two, three. Why do I want to say? I can see four, but I'm going to say five.
Okay. How many countries does Colombia share a land border with?
Colombia shares land borders with Venezuela, Brazil, Ecuador, Peru, and Panama.
Yes!
You got it. You're doing better than you thought.
Yeah, I am doing it. I'm doing okay.
And Siri worked that time. All right. Last one. What is Colombia the world's leading source of? And it's not what people are thinking right now.
Oh, is it? I feel like, is it coffee?
No.
It's not coffee. Okay. What is
the world's leading source of?
World's leading source of? Oh, were you thinking something else? Like,
I was
illegally?
No, that is not the answer that I came up with. I was letting people know that that's not where I was going with that.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, wait, are we on the same page here? Because I was so thinking coffee beans.
I think I found, I can't remember, because that was an assumption. I think it's third in coffee or something like that.
Wow. Interesting. A lot of people love Colombian coffee, but I don't have an idea for this one.
What is Colombia the world's leading source of?
Colombia is rich in natural resources and is known as the world's leading source of emeralds.
Oh my God, why did I think I was born in May. Why did I not? I literally, my birthstone is an emerald. Why didn't I think of that? Oh my gosh.
I was born in May too.
Oh, awesome. When?
May 4th, Derby Day this year.
Ooh, are you going to go?
I'm going to Thurby on Thursday.
Okay, then I'll see you on Thursday because
you guys are going to Thurby?
We're going to Thurby.
Oh, very fun. Okay, that's all I have for that. I want to be respectful of your time. Any final thoughts before we go?
No, I just want to say thank you so much for inviting me on your podcast. And it's been a great time. And hopefully I can come back again. So.
Absolutely. Real quick, score prediction for Saturday.
Oh, okay. I just have a good feeling about it. I'm going to go with 2-0.
Okay. My co-host Cody called 2-0. I called 3-0 because I have a better feeling about it. Are your teammates sticking around afterwards for the fireworks?
I believe so. Even though, like I said, we live close by to the river, so we can literally see it from our apartments. But I think most of the team is going to be sticking around.
Cool. I'm so excited for Saturday. I mean, I'm going to get out there early and it's going to be an all day event. And then the game's 5 to 7 and then there's live music for a couple hours because the fireworks won't start till 9:30.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
It has to get dark, right? Obviously. Yeah,
right.
And I don't know how much you know about Thunder and this whole thing.
No, I know nothing, so inform me.
So it's one of the world's largest annual fireworks displays.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
It's the official kickoff to the Derby celebration, which is the 2 weeks leading up to the Kentucky Derby. And on the waterfront, on the Louisville side and on the Indiana side, typically there's over 1 million people that come down.
Oh,
to that
wow.
area to watch. It's an all-day thing with music and vendors and air show, and obviously culminating in one of the most impressive fireworks displays you'll ever see. So you absolutely should.
Holy crap. That's awesome.
Should stick around to watch it. So, all right. Well, racing fans, be sure to catch Alexa and the rest of Big Perp this Saturday, April 20th at 5 p.m. against the Buta Royals. That's how we refer to them on this podcast. Lex, thank you so much for being here.
No, thank you so much, Joe. It's been an honor. I had so much fun.
Lavender Louisville is brought to you by Joe Havelda and Cody Roof. Music by Tyler Lance Walker Gill. Logo design by Ryan Simpson. Contact Lavender Louisville on Twitter @LavenderLVL or email lavenderlouisville@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.